stool is a great way of deciding how our checking in to see how your dog's digestion is doing. If you're finding some very loose stools, you know, within the first few days of starting transitioning, if your dog has really been regimented on his standard prescription food for a long time, yeah, I could see maybe a little soft stool at first during transitioning. But generally, especially after transitioning, you should expect some pretty nice stools.
Welcome to the Pet Care Report podcast by Pet Summits. Here's your natural dog healthcare host, Alora McKinley.
Well, g'day guys. Welcome back to another episode of the Pet Care Report. Now, one trending theme in all our dog health episodes is the importance of a good diet and how that affects our dog's entire life and well-being. And you've probably noticed that many of these experts have recommended a fresh food, whole food approach to feeding, which we know is based on a slowly increasing amount of new scientific research. And on that note, I'd love to introduce you to Brad Clinthorne to the podcast. Now, he is an animal lover, a nutrition enthusiast, avid gardener, and a family man. He entered the pet industry in 2012 and fell in love with helping pet parents to live their best life through nutrition and pet parent education. He joined Steve's Real Food in 2021 to help a larger group of pet parents discover the real difference food can make. Welcome to the podcast, Brad.
Oh, well, thank you so much for having me on.
Now, today we're going to talk about a raw food diet and how we can help transition our dogs. For many pet owners, this idea of a raw food diet is really intriguing, but also daunting. Can you walk us through the basic principles of a raw food diet and why some owners might consider making the shift?
Yeah, absolutely. So, I mean, the raw food diet is based on definitely not a new principle. The idea that every animal on the planet should get real fresh food, or food at least in cellular form, and then our dogs and cats should get something heavily processed is really very outlandish. And so many people are kind of waking up to that idea. Wait a minute, I need more fresh food for myself. If you're dealing with a health issue or you just want to be healthier, that's one of the first things that occurs to you. I should eat fresh food. And more people are waking up to the idea that, wait a minute, maybe my dog or cat also needs fresh food in their life. And in fact, I would argue that they need it more than we do, as we've been eating cooked food significantly longer than our furry family members. The whole idea arises from just, what should our pets be eating? Really taking a step back and thinking, based on their physiology, based on their history, based on the current research, which you have pointed out, more and more we are seeing that these fresh, real diets benefit our dogs in so many ways. I mean, I put my dog on just a 20% fresh diet, and he had been eating some really high quality processed foods up until then. And I put him on just a 20% fresh diet and kept him on 80% of the processed stuff. And even with just that amount, I saw huge improvements. And so I think people are hearing more of these stories. They're running into more issues. They're thinking more critically about their own diets and their own health. And all of these things are just kind of coming together to push more people into exploring raw food for their dogs at home.
Yeah. And so then what do you think holds owners back from starting a raw food diet?
There's a lot, because there's a lot of misconceptions and myth out there. There's a lot of just being unsure. You know, I was actually running a pet store for probably 3 years. And at that time, still unsure about raw food. I even had it in my freezer at the store. And I still wasn't sure how to recommend it, how to feed it. I didn't really know anything about it. And I was like, I'm the kind of guy who I was going home after work and sitting down and reading about dogs and reading about their physiology and reading about what they should be eating, you know. And at the time, the information wasn't as available then. It took a lot of looking around to find anything about raw foods. But yeah, there is a lot. There's a lot of fears, misconceptions, and concerns out there. Luckily, nowadays, there is so much information available. You know, it's becoming easier and easier to cross that barrier of misconception. I often run into two or three reasons that people don't do it, that people are a little bit concerned. A, they're just not sure how to start. Okay, so you want me to feed raw meat to my dog? What do I do? Should I just go to the store and slap some burger down in front of him? In fact, I was talking to a friend the other day about his dog, and we got started talking about fresh food, and I got him sold on the idea, and he said, okay, so what do I do? Do I just go grab some salmon and feed it to my dog? You know, and it's just so many people are at that level where, yes, they would love to do better for their animals, but they're really not sure how to start. So that's the first part, is figuring out how to start. And, you know, you guys are so helpful for that, so instrumental in teaching people how to feed fresh diets, you know, whether they want to make them at home or if they want to, you know, buy some. There's so many beautiful commercially prepared raw foods out there now as well. But then there are two other big holdouts that I run into. A, bacteria, and B, nutrient imbalance. Those are two really big concerns, and we actually have a webinar. I actually have a webinar that that completely addresses those as well as all of the other misconceptions, and we really dive into it. But you know, bacteria. Our dogs have been eating carcasses. They find, you know, they've been foraging, they've been scavenging for thousands and thousands of years. And then this is built on top of animals that have been scavenging for millions of years. They can absolutely handle crazy different amounts of bacteria than we can. But most foods, either in the human food chain, or especially if you're buying like a commercially prepared raw food, the bacterial content of those is going to be incredibly low if it's pathogenic bacteria. Almost every raw food company will have multiple safety steps in place. Nobody wants to hurt an animal. We're all doing this from a place of love. And then, you know, the human side, as long as you're handling things well, your dog should be able to handle most of the bacteria in those foods. You know, one of the big concerns is what? Salmonella? Well, salmonella needs a pH between, what, 4 and 6 in order to grow and thrive. Whereas your dog's stomach, when he's digesting a meal, dips down to a pH of like 1. That's like sulfuric acid. It just, the salmonella doesn't stand a chance in there.
Good to note, too, that it's not just raw food that can carry salmonella. Your kibble can, too.
Absolutely. In fact, pound per pound, kibble is responsible for far more bacteria recalls than raw foods are in the past, you know, 15 years. So the fact that bacteria in general is a raw food problem is definitely a misnomer. It's not a raw food problem. It's a pet food concern. And as long as the company you're buying from is really thoroughly addressing it, it's not something you should have to be concerned about. Just wash your hands after you serve it, just like you're dealing with kibble.
Yeah, that's a good point. Your hands and maybe not letting your dog lick you in the face and things like that. That will definitely help prevent any cross-contamination.
Oh, absolutely. And dogs are licking all sorts of stuff. It's not the raw food that's going to give you problems if your dog's licking your face. You know, it's all of the other things. I mean, every dog cleans his own butt. Come on.
And eats weird things at the dog park, and you know.
Right, absolutely, yeah.
Now, you mentioned two other good points there. What are some precautions that owners could take to ensure that they are feeding raw food safely?
So you definitely want to make sure you're feeding a balanced diet. And it doesn't have to be balanced every single day, but you want it balanced over time. So if you're making it yourself, don't just go to the store and grab some salmon and slap it in front of your dog. Find a really good recipe from somebody who you trust and somebody who has the credentials. If you're buying a commercially prepared food, research that company. Reach out to them if you have to. Go on their website, really do some research and reach out to them. You know, you want to make sure that they're testing their food to make sure that it's balanced, that they have some safety steps in place for bacteria and things like that. Anywhere you're getting your ingredients, just vet them a little bit. Do some research. Remember, you only have to do this once. Once you find some places that you can trust, you don't need to keep redoing this every time you buy a bag of dog food. You know, once you've established who you can buy from, who you trust, and who you know is safe, your homework is done, at least in that particular area. So that's the first thing, is just making sure that you can trust, that there's a lot of trust between you and whoever you're buying your food from. And then, like I said, the other thing, making sure your diet is balanced. Again, if you're going to be making it at home, definitely tap into some of the amazing, brilliant minds that are available these days. People who are just spilling all sorts of beautiful information and sharing recipes with us to help feed our dogs fresh food.
Yeah, and you can also get, for some parents that are, you know, very anxious about balancing their meals, you can get like stuff from the pet store now that has different minerals that you can add to your dog's food just to make sure you're covering all the bases. So it's not as scary as it sounds.
Yeah, and it really comes down to, this is food. This isn't a prescription. You know, our bodies are all made for balance over time. So yeah, as long as you do your homework, your dog's not going to drop dead.
Yeah.
He's not going to keel over from slightly mixed up, especially if you're feeding whole foods, you're really not going to screw it up that badly in a short amount of time. But seriously, over a long term, you definitely can, you know, cause some damage. So do some homework.
Yeah. Now, let's say a dog owner wants to introduce some raw food to their dog's diet. Does it have to be dog food that is specifically for pets, like raw meat? Or can they also use meat that's for human consumption as well?
Oh, they can absolutely use meat that's for human consumption. I will cut, you know, little bits off of food that I'm preparing and toss them to my dogs. I do, you know, I work for a dog food company. I do personally really prefer getting the meat from, you know, the company I work for. But that's only because in my area, there's not a lot of really great meat available. And so there's a lot of trust there with me. So sometimes I think you can actually get higher quality stuff if you can really establish that trust. Now, meat in the human supply chain, if you have an immunocompromised animal or something, definitely consult with a holistic vet or, you know, your veterinarian if they're raw friendly before you start feeding that. Because if you have like an immunocompromised dog or something, meat in the human supply chain will have a higher bacterial load. It's usually not, you know, out of this world crazy, but there's like a zero tolerance. There's a zero tolerance level set for commercial dog food companies. And so they cannot have pathogenic bacteria in their raw meats. Whereas at the grocery store, there is a little bit of room to move around. That should not scare you off from going to the store and finding some great meat and sharing it with your dogs. But just keep that in mind if you have an animal who's immune compromised. Talk to your vet first.
Yeah. And now for people that are going to maybe look at making their own raw pet food, what kind of things make up that raw food? Is it just meat and bones? What should they be expecting to bring in?
So there's a few different philosophies behind that. Some people do believe in the prey model diet, which, you know, is really mostly animal. Even if you're still doing mostly animal, you're going to have to add some other things. I personally am all about the BARF diet, biologically appropriate raw foods. I love seeing a mix of meat, organ, bone, some fresh produce, you know, some beautiful veggies, some tasty fruits, some herbs, mushrooms. There's all sorts of fantastic stuff that are full of benefits and phytonutrients and beautiful things that can help your dog live a longer, healthier, happier life. And so personally, I really do like to include some fruits and veggies and some other great extras in my dog's food if I'm ever making him a meal. You know, and you can add some fun fermented things as well. I do a low salt kimchi at my house. I guess I shouldn't call it kimchi. It doesn't really have any spices added to it. This one's for the dogs. But it's an awesome, awesome pro and prebiotic and even postbiotic. So yeah, I'm a big fan of including some fruits and veggies. Now, I do believe that dogs' diets should be mostly animal-based, that they really do better on a mostly animal-based diet. And so including that muscle meat, including that organ meat, incredibly important, including that bone, ridiculously important. But I also, again, do believe in adding some produce.
And I guess the thought that dogs need carbohydrates has been around for quite a long time. So many will add maybe rice to their dog's food. What's your thought on adding a carbohydrate source?
Yeah, so dogs have no actual need for carbohydrates. Now, you definitely can add some, but I personally don't really think their body has a great use for those. So I typically try to go lower carb with the foods that I choose for my dogs. I do like more fibrous vegetables. I'll add things like broccoli and kale, stuff like that. carrots, apples even. Apples are a great source of fiber. I definitely try to go low glycemic, low sugar. I'm not going to add mango to my dog's bowl that often. So yeah, personally, I don't really subscribe to the belief that you need to give your dog carbs or go out of your way to give your dog carbs. They're naturally going to come in through some of the amazing foods you're already giving them. And I certainly wouldn't go out of my way to add them to the bowl.
Yeah, absolutely. Me too. Now, how do pet owners work out how much raw food to feed their dog? Is there a like a chart or a something they can follow?
Yeah, typically if you're doing like a mostly meat diet, you would feed about 2.5% of their body weight every day. And then you can adjust that depending on your dog. Every dog is different. I know there are so many great charts out there. There are so many great guides. That's actually a really great question for Google, probably, because that's some easy quantitative data you can just type in and get some good answers. But typically, you know, if I'm feeding a diet, if my bowl is 80% meat, organ, and bone, and 20% produce, and a little goat milk, and, you know, a little coconut oil or something like that, then I'm going to feed my 80-pound dog about 2 pounds of that a day.
Yeah, it's not that hard. And especially learning about your dog and how you want them to be, because we don't want them to be overweight and we don't want them to be underweight. We want them to be just right. So finding that amount of food that's going to work for our dogs. I know I've got active dogs, so I feed them a little bit more than what's usually recommended just to keep them healthy.
Yeah. And I usually recommend that people establish a baseline weight for their dogs. I'll actually pick up my golden retriever, Chuck, and I'll step up there on the scale. And we'll check in every once in a while just to make sure we're not overdoing it, you know, because we'd love to add some extras, eggs fresh from the chickens, things like that. And if we're not careful, he'll creep up to 85, 90, you know, and we know that being just moderately overweight can significantly impact their life. So yeah, I always recommend establishing a baseline. And that way you can just check in every once in a while.
Yeah, great idea. Now, let's say an owner has transitioned their dog to a raw food diet. How can they ensure that their pet is thriving and when they might need to make some adjustments?
Yeah, so one of the first things you should notice is more energy, more vitality. That was the first thing I noticed from my dog when I started transitioning him to a raw diet. That was probably within at least 2 weeks of transition. And I was not fully transitioning at this point. I was just including it in his diet. But I saw more vitality. I saw more energy. If you're seeing lethargy, then you might want to look into that. There may be some reason that you should reach out to your vet, or you're maybe just not feeding enough. Now, I doubt that's the case, but it's a possibility. You also want to look at their stool. Obviously, stool is a great way of deciding checking in to see how your dog's digestion is doing. If you're finding some very loose stools, you know, within the first few days of starting transitioning, if your dog has really been regimented on his standard prescription food for a long time, yeah, I could see maybe a little soft stool at first during transitioning. But generally, especially after transitioning, you should expect some pretty nice stools. My dog's stools got smaller, they got tighter, they're a little firmer, much, much healthier than they were when he was eating a processed food diet and they were those big old fluffy poops. You know, I was using 2 poop bags per walk. So stool is a great way to keep an eye on your dog's overall health and how you're doing with your current meal plan. Weight, of course, is a great way to see how things are going. If he's ballooning up, well, time to slow down and adjust, figure out what's going on. But also if he's losing weight, if he's visibly losing weight, especially quickly, well, that's something you definitely want to address. And then finally, something I like to look at, this is a little longer term, but coat, you know, skin and coat health. It's a great way to check in, make sure your dog's getting enough of the right oils, enough of the right fats, enough protein, a lot of protein. A lot of the protein they eat goes into their skin and coat. It's like 30% of the protein they eat goes to their skin and coat alone, you know. So that's another great way to keep an eye on your dog and just make sure that he's doing fine.
Something I hear quite often is people transition their dog to a raw food diet and then say, my dog is not drinking enough. They've changed, you know, they used to drink bowl of water. Now they're not drinking any. What would you say about that?
So the processed food they were eating is what? 10% moisture, most likely. They're not made for that. Their body has to rehydrate it in their stomach before they can even start digesting it. And that's pulling water from their body. It's pulling water from their cells. So they're going to be gulping down water left and right to try to rehydrate, which they cannot, unfortunately, do as effectively as we wish they could. When they start eating that fresh, raw food, that stuff is loaded with water. That's like 80% water on average. And so they're just going to be hydrating naturally through their food, which is exactly how they're designed to hydrate. That's exactly how dogs should be hydrating, is through that intracellular moisture. That's the best way to rehydrate. That's why we drink things like Gatorade and stuff that tries to replicate that intracellular moisture. Or why they say eating a cucumber hydrates you better than drinking a glass of water. Your body can really use that very well. And so that's what's going on in your dog. A, he doesn't need as much moisture for aiding his digestion. And then B, he's hydrating more effectively through his food.
And you mentioned the difference in stool type too. So a raw-fed dog has much smaller stools traditionally?
Yeah, absolutely. Smaller, firmer stools. They naturally express the anal glands on the way out. Yeah, that is a great, great sign of health. They should deteriorate pretty quickly, left out in nature. I know I don't have to do nearly as much poo pickup nowadays. I've got a great big yard, and I try to let as much of it as I can return to nature and feed the soil. And now that they're eating a fully fresh diet, it does not sit around nearly as long.
Yeah. No, that's so great. We've covered some really great things, because raw fooding really isn't as scary as sometimes people make it out to be. So if we're going to sum it up safely, what can pet parents do to raw feed safely?
If you're going to make your own diets, again, just find some really great people who have great, have a few great recipes. You can start from there. It's so easy. If you are brand new to raw feeding and you have never stuck your toe in it even, start tossing your dog some fresh fruits and veggies. Just get them started on that. Give them a little fresh raw goat milk. That's a great way to get started. Dip your toe in and start getting familiar with feeding your dog actual food. These animals are so flexible and so able to eat so many different things, but they only really thrive once you start giving them the foods that their bodies are made to digest and interact with. So it's never too late to start. It's never all or nothing. You can always just do a little bit. You can always dip your toe in. But again, either do your research and find some fantastic recipes from people who formulate, or talk to some great, you know, there are some great commercially available dog foods out there as well. I would just have a conversation with the company behind the food.
Yeah. And then just basic common sense too, I think. You're not going to leave your raw food sitting out for a few hours in the summer heat. So basic sense. Wash your hands.
Yeah, absolutely. Once you set it down for your dog, I like to treat it like cooked food. You know, I don't leave it down for more than 2 hours, just like with a cooked dish or something like that. And then, yeah, after you handle it, wash your hands. After your dog eats it, wash the bowl, just like you should be doing with kibble or canned food or any of those as well. Yeah, very common sense. It's very easy to get started. It took me 3 years in the pet industry to get started. And I wish I had done it earlier. Because once I started, I was like, oh man, this is easy. And I far prefer feeding some of my frozen food to feeding that greasy kibble, scooping it out of the bag, getting it, you know, sticking my arm down to the elbow, getting it on my sleeve. No, thank you.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much, Brad. That's been really interesting. If our followers want to find out more about you, where can they find you?
So Steve's Real Food, you can either go on to the homepage or you can check out the Facebook. I'm always doing webinars with, you know, I work for Steve's. And so for Steve's, I'm always presenting great, some fun webinars, and we have our own Facebook Live channel as well. So we are often bringing on experts and doing fun interviews. So you can always join us there to learn some more.
Beautiful. We'll put some links to that in the show notes. And just, you mentioned Steve's Real Food. I assume they make like a raw food blend as well?
Yeah, absolutely. So Steve's was actually the first commercially available raw food in the U.S. back in 1998. Started the game, absolutely. And yeah, we make a 80% meat organ and, I'm sorry, yeah, 80% meat organ and bone and 20% awesome produce and extras recipe for dogs and cats. And then we make some other great stuff as well. So if you're interested in learning more, check us out for sure.
Yeah, lovely. We'll put a link again down below. Now, thank you so much, everyone, for joining me. If you want to watch more, you need to follow and subscribe and leave a review. And if there's something you found interesting, let us know. Or if there's something you want to cover in the future, then shoot us a message too. All right, we'll see you next time.